We brought our garden Resistance to bloom this year, and what Resistance was it's a human rights garden. So we were bringing the stories of three countries to people at Bloom, and really it was all around land rights and very human rights issues, the stories of human rights defenders in Zimbabwe, Guatemala and Palestine. Barry Kavanagh was the designer of the garden. Barry is originally from Dublin but living in Cavan. He'd be very well known in gardening circles in Ireland. And we gave Barry a brief where we said, listen, these are the issues, these are the countries we'd like represented. And Barry just did an unbelievable job in terms of bringing those issues to life through planting, essentially, and through, you know, really clever design and layout of the garden. It was just a way to engage people on those issues and to try to raise awareness about the sort of issues we work on, the sort of issues that people in those countries face. Use it to bring those stories to people.
How do you bring those type of issues to life with plants? I mean, how do you sort of tell that story through a landscape?
Yeah, so there were three areas of the garden, and the first was the Zimbabwe section, and there was a pond with a copper pipe going over it. And what that pipe represented was pollution of water by mining companies in Zimbabwe. So, you know, through the pond looked very nice. It looked like a really kind of nice pond that everyone would like to have in their gardens. But then when you tell people the symbolism behind it, it really brings it to life. And it was the same with the other two sections as well. We had the Guatemala section, which was a very kind of stark sort of scorched earth and burnt kind of scorched trees. And this was about indigenous communities being evicted from their land. Indigenous communities in Guatemala and throughout much of Central America have very little rights. They've no real land rights and no access to justice. We work with them trying to get them land title and legal ownership of land. But until they get that, the military can really arrive at any time, you know, middle of the night, and just literally burn the crops, destroy the homes and move them on. So that's what that section of the garden symbolised. And, you know, for people in Ireland, you know, Central America isn't an area we hear a lot about. And people were really unaware of those sort of issues facing indigenous communities. And that's really, that work has been core to Trokar for nearly 40 years now, working with those communities who face extreme levels of violence, very little legal protection, and really complete impunity when it comes to violence against them as well. Just being able to bring that story to people, I think people were very interested in it.
Did that resonate with an Irish audience in particular because of our own past with land and dispossession and people being evicted and so on?
I think it does. It really does. Like the work in the situations facing indigenous communities in places like Guatemala, Honduras, they really do have echoes of the past for Ireland in terms of people just not having any legal access to land, being extremely vulnerable to very powerful, very wealthy landlords, many of whom hire militia to target these communities. And if the communities organise and if they stand up for their rights, and that's core to our work, trying to, you know, mobilise the communities in that way, they're often subjected to extreme violence, you know, up to and including assassination. Many of the people we work with have been killed in Central America over the years for speaking up and, you know, trying to defend people. So, yeah, I think Irish people do have, an immediate affinity with stories like that. And it's probably very easy for us to understand and to take those stories on board.
From a gardening point of view, it's people who are coming and they care about land, they care about the gardens. Were they drawn to it from that perspective as well?
Yeah, I think the really clever thing about Bloom is that, you know, the people who are there, as you say, are there primarily because they're interested in gardening and they want to see the show gardens. But what's really clever about it is that they come over because the garden looks very pretty and has, you know, great flowers, and they're interested in what type of flower is that and what type of flower is that. And that's when you can kind of talk to them then about the bigger issues. So they've actually sort of unwittingly walked themselves into a situation where they're actually now learning about these really interesting and complex human rights issues. And what we find is that when you begin having those conversations, people are really interested. They're fascinated in how the garden tells the story, but they're also fascinated in the stories, you know, be it of Zimbabwe, be it of Guatemala or Palestine, and of the people we work with who are standing up for human rights. And I think they're also interested in hearing that Trokar does that type of work. It's probably not an area of work we're as well known for as, you know, for example, our more farming work or our humanitarian work. But that human rights work is really so central to what we do. a lot of the people we met are Troker supporters. They're people who have either filled Troker boxes or donated online or donated through parishes or supported us in lots of different ways. And they're really interested to hear that, all right, so this is the type of work you do as well. And I think people are really encouraged and supportive that we are tackling those sort of underlying issues that are facing communities like that. And that's really what Troker is about, is trying to tackle those underlying issues and not just giving the band-aid, but trying to actually, you know, fix the cut.
I mean, you mentioned there Palestine. We didn't talk about the garden that represented Palestine. Maybe tell us a little bit about that too, because I think a lot of Irish people do feel a real affinity with Palestine.
Yeah, I think the Palestine section was probably the most affecting for people. We had an olive tree, which is, you know, indigenous to that part of the world. And there was a mural showing an Israeli man and a Palestinian woman protecting the olive tree from demolition. So the olive tree is a symbol of peace. So the mural is very symbolic in terms of people working together to try to protect peace in the region. And that's what we do out there. We work with groups, Israeli groups, Palestinian groups, who are all about trying to strengthen human rights and trying to build a lasting peace for all the people in the region. So I think people were really deeply moved by that idea. The Israeli man in the mural is actually based on someone we work with. His name is Rabbi Arik. Rabbi Arik is obviously an Israeli rabbi, but he is a human rights activist. And he tries to protect Palestinian communities in the West Bank from their land being seized or their homes being demolished. He takes out, you know, court orders, court injunctions. But when those fail, he will literally jump in front of bulldozers to try to stop the Israeli military from demolishing homes. And he's an incredibly courageous man. And he says that this comes from his faith. You know, he says that his Jewish faith compels him to protect his neighbor. So he sees that human rights activism as being an expression of that faith. And these are the sort of people we work with. They're very brave people. They're people who aren't always hugely appreciated in their own societies. Particularly Israeli human rights activists come under a lot of criticism from Israeli political circles or media or what have you. But, you know, they're very courageous in that they stand up for what they believe in, and they believe that the only way to bring ultimately peace to their own society is to create a peace with their neighbours and a just peace at that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, you know, when you hear it from the perspective of an Israeli person, because typically we associate the idea that their religion compels them to continue to take more land, you know, rather than compels them to create peace and to create a just peace.
Yeah, I mean, Rabbi Arik, I've been lucky to spend some time with him, and he says that the occupation of the West Bank goes against his moral code, and that moral code comes from his faith. He thinks it runs contrary to what his faith tells him. Other Israeli partners we work with as well, we work with an organization called Breaking the Silence, which is a organization of former Israeli soldiers who speak about what they did as soldiers and in a very campaigning way to campaign against the occupation of the West Bank. They are very clear in that they regard themselves as patriots, and they say the only way to actually defend the country that they love is to make sure that it is at peace with its neighbors and that it's secure. And the only way to build that security is to make sure that everyone in the region is secure and has access to justice. So, you know, they view opposing what's happening to Palestinian people as being an act of patriotism for Israel. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really interesting way of looking at things. It's unfortunately not an analysis we hear very often. And I think it shows that those societies are probably a bit more complex than we hear about. You know, there are those discussions happening. They're minority voices, unfortunately, and probably getting more minority. But those discussions are happening, and those activists are pushing for change within their own societies. And that, you know, to get back to Bloom and that garden, that's what we're trying to talk about, is the people within these countries who are, you know, standing up against, be it against their own governments, against large-scale landlords, against private sector businesses, and trying to hold their own countries to a higher moral standard, and a moral standard that protects all the people of those countries.
And looking at Bloom again, you won a prize there as well. You won a prize for the garden in Bloom.
It did. It won gold in the best concept category, which was a fantastic achievement because it's a very, very high standard. Bloom is really becoming the new Chelsea. It's very kind of internationally prestigious competition. So credit for that very much goes to Barry Kavanagh, the designer, who really brought the garden to life. But winning gold, I think, was also illustrative, I think, that the judges really kind of bought into the idea we were trying to bring to life and the issues we were trying to bring to life. There's plenty of really interesting gardens. There's other charities who have gardens there highlighting other issues. And there's also plenty of, be it county councils or private sector companies, who are bringing really interesting ideas. But it's, I suppose, very unique to try to bring human rights to life through a garden. And I think ours was the only garden doing that. So I think that's what obviously the judges liked, that idea, and I think people really bought into it as well.